They just made sure everybody's hooked up, Tones.
All right, are we broadcasting and live? And can folks hear us remotely?
We can hear you clearly.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and open the public input session on case numbers PU-10-657 and case number PU-11-55. And I want to be the first to welcome everyone here. This is Tony Clark. I'm chairman of the Public Service Commission. Joining me today here in the commission offices are my fellow commissioner, Brian Kalk. We have Commissioner Kramer, who is remote with us from Minot, and we've got a number of Public Service Commission staff here in the room as well. We know we have representatives of Xcel and perhaps others at distant locations, just for the benefit of folks who may be there or who may be listening in on the internet. The purpose of public input sessions is an opportunity for the general public to, first of all, perhaps learn a little bit more about a rate case that is coming up before the commission, but then also to give the public an opportunity to ask questions of the applicant, in this case Xcel Energy, and have a bit of a discussion about the drivers in the case, and really to provide information for the public so that if there is an interest in becoming more actively involved in the case, whether it's testimony at a hearing or whether it is possibly intervening in a case, it gives them the opportunity to learn more about it before they have to make that decision. I should note that the information provided here, whether from the company or from any member of the public, is not officially a part of the record. The commission has to make its decision only upon a record that's developed at a hearing. But it does oftentimes form the basis of questions that the commission or its staff might ask of the utility through the course of the case. So it is helpful if it's provided. With that, I will turn it over, I think, first, for economy's sake here, we'll keep it in Bismarck, and ask Commissioner Kalk to say a few words, and then Kevin will turn to you.
Just thank you all for your work, and I look forward to hearing the presentation, which I'm guessing is similar to last night. So thank you.
Yeah, I would just also express my appreciation to the folks that are attending and welcome everybody in Minot. Kathy Oz and I are here, and Jill Schramm from the Minot Daily News, and that's the extent of the public so far in Minot.
Okay, very good. Why don't we've got sites in Grand Forks and in Fargo at UND and NDSU, respectively. Why don't we turn to Grand Forks first?
Yes, good afternoon. This is Judy Pockert with Xcel Energy, and there are no other members in the room.
Hi, Judy. I thought that was you, but it's a little pixelated here on our screen, so I wasn't entirely sure. And Fargo.
Yeah, this is Dave Cedarquist with Xcel Energy. We have no members of the public. Four other Xcel Energy employees here to respond to questions later.
Yeah, and we'll just walk through. Mark Nesbitt, Principal Manager of Xcel Energy in North Dakota.
Matthew Loftus, attorney for the company.
Hi, I'm Bonnie Lund, communications and gas representative.
Audrey Thorstenson, major account rep.
Okay, very good. Why don't you all know the routine? I think, Dave, are you going to be giving the presentation you said for Xcel?
I will.
Okay. Very good. Why don't we hand it off to you?
Okay, thank you, Chairman Clark, and good afternoon. My name is Dave Cedarquist, and I manage North Dakota Regulatory Affairs for Xcel Energy. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank the Commission for coordinating this public forum and making use of video conferencing and the internet technology to get the message to as many people and allow as many people to participate as possible. The decision to file this rate increase application was not taken lightly by the company. We are well aware that electricity is an important and significant part of everyone's household and business budgets. It isn't easy. We're doing our best. to achieve a balance of reasonable rates and good service while complying with the various regulations that we need to comply with. We understand that reliability and safety and being accessible to our customers and helpful to them is just as important to them, to our customers, as having low energy bills. Today our objective, again, is to listen to and understand what our customers might have to say, and to help everyone understand what our rate filing is about. I'd like to take a few minutes to provide some background and present some basic facts about our increase, describe why it's necessary, and talk a little bit about some of the efforts that we've made and are continuing to make to keep our costs low. I think I can speak for all utilities serving customers in this state that when I say that we take the matter of increasing rates very seriously. We only propose such increases when it becomes absolutely necessary to continue to serve customers reliably and safely and comply with our various requirements. Our energy consumers who live or do business in North Dakota have become quite accustomed to rates that are well below those of other states. And in fact, looking at data from the U.S. Energy Information Administration, North Dakota in 2009 had the lowest average residential rates of any other state in the nation. At just above 7.5 cents per kilowatt hour, North Dakota's average rate was more than 30% lower than the national average. In this region and across the country, however, the utility industry is busy investing in infrastructure to modernize assets and meet anticipated growth in electric demand and also to reduce its impact on the environment. When large new facilities are placed into service, rate adjustments such as this are not usually far behind. Evidence of this is clear by the level of rate activity taking place across the country. You can see from this chart here that more rate requests were filed in 2009 and 2010 than at any time, actually in the previous two decades. To support our strong economy here in North Dakota, utilities serving this state have also been making substantial investments in their systems, and this proposed rate increase is largely a result of infrastructure improvements that Xcel Energy is making to provide for our customers' energy needs. And while investments in generation and transmission in particular are generally quite significant, the impact on rates really should be viewed over a long term. And as shown here, over the past 25 years, electricity prices have been very modest in terms of their increases relative to other consumer goods, just 49% increase over that span of time, or roughly 2% per year. Our proposed rate increase is more than 2%, but over the past two decades, our own rates have increased well below the rate of inflation, and the actions that we're taking now to refurbish and expand our system and mitigate future environmental risks will help to ensure that our rates remain competitive well into the future. It's been 3 years since we've requested an electric base rate increase. That filing resulted in an overall increase of just under $11 million, or about 7.4%. Our current request, which was filed in December, is only our second general rate filing since 1992, and with it we're seeking to increase rates about $18 million, or 10.9%. And this is based on a forecast of our revenues and expenses and plant investment for the 2011 forecast test year. What is different about this filing is that in addition to a 2011 increase, we are seeking to implement a small step increase of $2.4 million beginning January 1 of 2012. Now, the step increase represents what could be thought of as carryover expenses related primarily to two significant investments that we're placing into service during 2011 and therefore not fully annualized in the 2011 test year. In other words, our 2011 test year does not reflect a full year's impact of these costs. And the 2012 test year would include the full impact, and the incremental amount is what will make up our 2012 step increase. Last night I gave an example. I'm going to talk about that again here just to make this concept a little clearer. Suppose we were to install a new transmission line on May 1st of 2011 that created about $50,000 a month in new expenses like depreciation expense and property taxes and those kinds of expenses. Since it's only in service for 8 months during 2011, it will create a total of $400,000 of costs in that year. However, since it'll be in service for all of 2012, it will generate $600,000 in costs in that year. So the incremental change in costs generated here by the new line from 2011 to 2012, which is $200,000, would be the step increase in this example. And the items that comprise our step increase in the filing, the proposed filing, include our project to extend the life and increase the capacity of our Monticello nuclear plant. It also includes some investments in transmission facilities that will go into service sometime during 2011. And finally, a small portion will relate to an updated nuclear fuel outage amortization schedule for 2012. And since these items are being reviewed for prudence as part of the 2011 test year, we're proposing that their incremental costs or their step increase in 2012 also be approved for recovery. This two-year approach to setting rates will save time and money because it will help avoid or defer the need to file another case in the near future. And, of course, given that rate cases cost anywhere from a couple $100,000 to $500,000 per case, there are very real benefits to this approach. For the typical residential customer, the proposed increase will be around $7 to $8 per month in 2011 and just under a dollar a month in 2012. In February, the company was allowed to temporarily increase rates by an amount just below what we are proposing, and this temporary or interim increase is allowed under North Dakota law and remains in effect during the time this rate application is being reviewed. When the commission issues its final order, hopefully by year end, we will refund any amount collected that exceeds the final rate level approved, plus interest. As I've indicated, this increase is primarily being driven by the cost of new infrastructure investments, but it does also reflect some additional and unavoidable regulatory compliance costs relating primarily to federal requirements, new environmental standards. We have some safety and security regulations at our nuclear plants and federal transmission reliability and documentation requirements, which are new. In addition, we're seeing increases in costs related to economic trends that are in the form of higher medical plan costs and also a loss in value of the pension fund here at the company that requires us to fund the plan for the first time since 1994. I want to go back and focus a little more on the infrastructure investments that we're making to our system and that are reflected in this case. And in doing so, I'm going to be discussing five generating plant projects. And I should mention that Xcel Energy's Midwest electric system is operated as an integrated system serving the states of North and South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And this means that the company plans, constructs, and operates its generating plants and transmission lines to meet the energy needs of all our customers in these five states, independent of the geographic locations of these facilities. An integrated system provides many benefits, such as a more diverse electric supply mix and the ability to lower costs of service by spreading our business expenses over a larger base. In setting rates, an allocation of the integrated system is directed to each state jurisdiction that we serve. And as such, our North Dakota customers share approximately 4 to 5% of the costs of these facilities. Now, as part of a $1 billion modernization project involving three of our older coal plants, Xcel Energy is repowering its Highbridge and Riverside facilities into natural gas combined cycle plants. Part of the costs of the Highbridge project were already approved in our 2007 rate case order, along with the cost of refurbishing the company's King coal plant. As part of our integrated system, these facilities, like all of our other plants, generate power for North Dakota customers. The plants will now generate electricity from two sources of energy. First, natural gas will fuel two combustion turbines similar to jet engines. And second, Exhaust from the combustion turbines will make steam to drive a heat recovery steam generator. Combining combustion and steam turbine technology is a very efficient way to generate electricity, and this project will not only extend the functional life of these facilities several decades, but it will also increase their combined generating capacity by over 320 megawatts. There are other benefits of these projects as well. Air emissions will be significantly reduced. Emissions such as sulfur dioxide, mercury, and other particulates will virtually be eliminated, and nitrogen oxide emissions will be reduced by at least 97%. Also, the ability to dispatch these plants or to start, stop, and adjust their output to meet changing customer loads will be improved. We will see save costs by utilizing existing transmission and substation infrastructure already on site. And because the location of these plants is strategic from a load flow standpoint, the stability of the electric grid is also enhanced. And finally, the use of low-cost natural gas, again, further diversifies and balances our total resource supply mix. Now, when it comes to our hardest working, most dependable, and low-cost power plants, our nuclear units at Monticello and Prairie Island rise to the top. Xcel Energy is currently working to extend both the operating licenses and the lives of these emission-free plants another 20 years and to increase their total capacity by over 200 megawatts. And we estimate customers will pay about $1 billion less over those 20 years compared to the alternatives. Now, our efforts are further along in Monticello, and those project costs are the ones that are reflected in this rate request. To accommodate life extension at Monticello, we're going to need to update or replace the equipment at the plant, and increasing the number of fuel rods and improving the equipment used to convert more steam into electricity will enable our operators to generate an additional 71 megawatts of power at Monticello. Facilities are also being constructed to allow for temporary on-site storage of spent nuclear fuel during the extended life of the plant. And finally, there are additional costs to comply with new security and safety regulations. Another major component of our proposed increase is the installation of 300 megawatts of new wind generation on our system. And as the nation's leading provider of wind energy, most of the wind energy that we deliver to customers is purchased from other wind developers. However, the Nobles and Grand Meadow plants that are reflected in this proposed rate increase, built at a cost of $700 million, they will be owned by Xcel Energy. Part of the Grand Meadow plant was included in our 2007 rate case already, and the commission has previously issued an advanced determination of prudence on the Nobles plan. We're fortunate as a company that our eight-state service territory is in close proximity to rich wind resources, and wind power provides us with an environmentally friendly and economic way to diversify our resource portfolio. It also does provide at least a partial hedge against natural gas price volatility. We also continue to make needed improvements to our transmission and distribution systems. In fact, our transmission plant will have more than doubled over the last decade to about $1.4 billion. And while there are really no single large transmission projects to highlight in this case, we will be putting into service in 2011 about $184 million of new lines to enhance the regional grid, improve reliability, and to connect new sources of electric generation. On a local distribution level, we continue our efforts to monitor and, if necessary, replace aging underground cable, maintain our four-year tree trimming cycle, and execute our ongoing reliability management plan, which includes actions such as pole testing and infrared testing of overhead lines, as well as crew inspections. In summary, about $4 million of our total increase relates to new transmission and distribution investments. These are the main items driving our rate increase. And
suppose that was on our end, or was that?
Well,
it seems like there's a throughput issue. I mean,
it worked fine last night, but I bet during this time of day there's a lot more traffic on it. It's like dropping a cell phone call. So last night I asked Dave, I said, so tell me how this wind is a hedge to natural gas cost?
Maybe you're just backing it up all with natural gas. When you shift everything else to gas, you're closing down the coal.
No, no, but he said that by having wind, is it the hedge to increases price in natural gas? And I asked him, how is that a hedge? He said, well, you get wind is there. So what if the wind's not blowing? Well, he changed the word today to partial. Ay. So, Diller, you gave them almost everything they asked for in the interim, right? Jesus. Yeah, still broadcasting. How are we doing, Steve? No, it quit.
It said, please wait while system restarts. And then just all the cameras flipped and...
Lovely. That explains the other issue. What we can do now is wait for them to reestablish.
We don't need to enter a number and push
no.
Return.
Please wait while system restarts.
I'm not sure. Could be this endpoint.
Good thing is Dave's still talking. You've already heard it once.
You know what, though? Let me call Kevin right now.
I haven't had the benefit of this yet, though.
They would have noticed that we dropped off, though.
Looking at that picture, can you guys tell who the golfer is in the group?
In that picture? There's no question about it.